Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello and welcome to 92.7 Arrow FM. My name is Michael and you're listening to the show Help, which is a show that is designed to talk about parenting aspects, things we've learnt. Myself, my wife Abby, who started the show about 3-4 years ago now, actually. And, it's a good time for us to sit down, talk about our parenting journeys with you guys, things we've learnt, things we wish we'd known. Also talking about some of the realms of mental health or aspects like that definitely directly relate to parenting. It's a great show. We have a lot of fun. And she started, like I said, about 4 years ago and wrote me in to it to be a co-host, which has been fun, especially on nights like tonight where, unfortunately, only one of us can be here. So I'm it today. She left it with me, which is, is it a benefit to you guys or is it more of a curse to you guys because you have to listen to me for the next 45 minutes or so? And whatever I like to go and talk about. So we've changed the format of the show slightly. If you've been listening, you'll be aware we no longer are playing music. So this will be the first time I've actually gone solo talking for 45 minutes or so. So, you know, who knows what might come out of my mouth during this time. I hope you're prepared. I am definitely prepared. I say as I'm looking at my notes. So what I thought about talking about today is something probably a little bit more on the father side, dad side of it. And I guess it's about the emotional availability and breaking stereotypes. Now, I'm sure that even though I'm going to talk about this from a very generic male background, I am well aware that this may relate or not relate to men. Might also relate to females as well. I hope that from me going through some of these things that you actually learn something, because it's important to always have your mind open to what other ideas are out there and vet them. Don't just believe everything you say, everything I say. Don't believe everything you hear. It's important to actually, you know, do a bit of research yourself. But hopefully that just gives you some thoughts, some provoking moments, and yeah, I'll probably learn something as well as I'm rambling on. So I'm going to preface this with being emotionally available. Now, I would rate myself probably a lot more adept at being emotionally available or sharing my emotions, I guess, than other men. It's always hard to rate yourself. Like, I guess it's, you know, that word, you know, how often used when I was growing up is, you know, how sensitive is he? Or especially when it comes to males, is like, oh, the sensitive, the in touch with his feminine side type thing. So, and that's the sort of language that's you know, easy to fall into. And those stereotypes are definitely something that's very easy to fall into as to what is how each gender or people are supposed to behave. And from that, I think there's definitely some upbringing, some negatives that, and I mean, it's always positive and negative everything, but some negatives can come up from kind of holding on to a stereotype, not just for being in it or but yourself, but also what you cast onto other people. And it's quite easy to put people in boxes that then limits, I guess, their opportunities or their how you relate to them. So with this, I guess, want to start off with, you know, what is kind of the typical male stereotype when it comes to being a father, and we're talking about the masculinity side of it, okay? So, and again, like, I want to really preface this, I am being very generic here. I'm not trying to be like, this is how everyone is. It's like, I'm being generic, and intention of doing that is so that, you know, you may relate to some of these things, you may relate to none of them, or you may relate to all of them. And hopefully from what I did share, you get some good thoughts about it. So traditional ideals of masculinity, key traits, you have the emotional suppression. I think that's pretty one of the most common ones when someone says about it. Boys or men are not supposed to feel anything. They're not supposed to express anything. I can definitely relate to my upbringing. And I would say, you know, my father wasn't necessarily, he's definitely someone who suppressed emotions. It was very difficult to read what kind of emotions was going on. So it's emotional suppression. Self-reliant. Well, quite often, you know, the male is taught to, that it can handle the challenges alone, that asking for help is a weakness, that you just got to get over it. If you've got to build a fence out in the backyard, you don't get someone else to do it. You do it yourself, type thing. You pull the concrete down, all that sort of stuff. You know, you look after the house, you look after the car. You can do all this if you don't take your car to the mechanic or oil change. You do it yourself, type thing. So, definitely self-reliance is there. Strength and toughness, and definitely I like what they say here. You know, physical strength and emotional toughness are what is highly valued and expected from the male. Dominance and control, and I think this is very typical. Talk about, you know, the old white man around everywhere, all the institutions. It's dominated by middle age or old white men, it's the way society has been in the past, and I know there's definitely a lot of ways to shifting away from that, or not being so focused on those aspects and trying to, you know, opportunities for everyone, which I'm an advocate for. But again, I've gone over these traditional ideas. And also the provider role, definitely expected to be the one who has a job, brings in the money, brings in the bacon, so to say. You know, is that one who is out there working hard, making sure that the family has enough money to make ends meet. So definitely, I agree, like a lot of this for me growing up, these are definitely traits and ideals that are kind of, you know, brought up with as to this is what a man should be, this is what they should aspire to be like. And it comes from lots of different avenues. And although it may not necessarily be like, here's this, it's just... it wasn't like hammered down to me that way, but definitely it was something where whenever you go, you know, it's a subliminal messaging from all the way you are raised and the way you see the authoritative figures in your life, and they're all very similar. So why is some of this stuff problematic, I guess, is why I want to raise it. It's because, so emotional repression is that, you end up bottling up feelings, bottling up emotions, not learning how to deal with them properly, and that can lead to a wide range of sore points or concerns. It can definitely lead to mental health issues. If you bottle up anger, then all of a sudden explode, it can actually be really dangerous to those around you, because depending on how your anger comes out, it could get physical. If you bottle up grief and sadness, fear, a lot of that stuff can just lead to some anxiety, some depression, even to the point where if you bottle up like love, not knowing how to express it, it can have that effect on those around you, that, oh, does this person actually like me, type aspect. You can have stress that gets built up as well, because of the fact that you're not allowing these emotions to come out. Now, I can 100% attest to the fact that I suppressed a lot of my emotions for a very long time, in terms of I didn't like... So when I say I'm more in touch with the my sensitive side, I guess, is I still wasn't very good at expressing it. The way I handled a lot of this was an unhealthy manner, and it's been a long time trying to start to work at being able to express these emotions in a healthy manner and being okay to express them as well. But so I know what it's like to walk through emotional repression. It also can have these sort of ideals has relationship strain. You can quite often have poor communication because if you're not emotionally available to be able to talk and communicate properly, then it doesn't really go anywhere. And, you know, you may struggle to connect with people. Other people might struggle to connect with you because of the fact you just don't have that ability to communicate at not just like a practical level, I find it very easy to talk about practical stuff, do this, but the emotional side, which is actually very important for other people to be able to connect that, the kinship, so to say, it's very easy to have poor communication. And to be honest, like you said, that's the typical, the story of, you know, how do two men solve an argument? You know, they kind of fume and then they have a bit of a punch up, or they kind of joss around and then, you know, all's forgotten, all done, we'll carry on. Like, that's their way of just solving it, so to say. There is definitely, in the providing role, that's that pressure. That if you are, like, putting yourself up as I'm the provider for the family, having that pressure to find the finances, to be the one to bring it on and put it on your shoulders, can actually really lead to some pretty bad, mental health issues, or the stress that you often not look after yourself, especially if you're like, I can't make enough money at this job, I'm going to get another job, I'm going to work 80-hour weeks regularly just so I can make enough money to provide for the family. It's actually not necessarily going to be a healthy life, and you end up just in a space where you're just going to be working all the time, and are you actually enjoying life type of thing. So that pressure to always provide is there. Not the fear of vulnerability, because a lot of the side of the more emotional side leads to you being vulnerable. If you're not practiced at it and not willing to kind of let down those walls, then yeah, you can definitely feel not want to feel vulnerable, which then leads to isolation or the difficulty in trying to ask for help, because you should be doing this yourself and everything should be fine. You should be the one who makes everything okay. You don't want to let anyone else in, but then it can feel really lonely because you haven't let anyone else in, because you're not good at letting everyone else in. So, and it also can, you know, have those really rigid gender roles, which, like, for example, with my wife and I, and we joke about this quite a bit, like, traditionally when you have people come over, you want to do like a dinner or event or bar, like a dinner side of things. It took us a while to get into this routine because my wife would be like, she's a female, so she should be the one who does all the cooking, does all the prep work, does all the planning, does all the organization bits and pieces. And it really stressed her out. And then I'll be the one who's supposed to, you know, be with everyone and, you know, talk and that sort of things. That stresses me out because I'm naturally just much enjoy being in that background role and serving everyone and organizing things, making it all happen. And my wife is much better at actually just being in the forefront, talking and having the communication, because that's just where both our strengths lie. But then for the first part of our marriage, we're definitely trying to fill these roles, I guess, these gender roles that are put upon us, are stereotypical, and it just wasn't working. And so then finally, when we decided to work it through, it's so much easier to run events or do things at home, have people over for dinner or that sort of stuff, because I often do all the prep work or a lot of food planning, all that bits and pieces, and it just comes naturally to me. And I'm absolutely fine for Abby just to be in the face of everyone talking, because, you know, I don't necessarily enjoy all that. I like mucking around, but hey, that's just me. So hopefully that gives a bit of an idea of the kind of the ideals of masculinity, ideals that a lot of people grow up with, or I guess I did, and sure there's other people that can relate to it. And even, I guess, for a female listening, potentially understanding what your siblings might have had to grow up under, or your partner as well. Right. So, yeah, I was just looking through my notes. I've kind of covered a lot of the stuff that I was supposed to, which is fantastic. And I think the three biggest areas that I think are really really important to touch on is, you know, that strong, silent stereotype that the men are supposed to have, whether they're stoic and tough, can create some very long-lasting mental health effects, not just for yourself, but also for your kids, because of the fact that you are in a way of holding that, and then you're not necessarily teaching them how to be a lot more open. And the biggest ones that I'll talk about, or the biggest ones I'll highlight with that, are the stresses, the anxiety, the depression, and anger issues. I think is actually quite important. Now, anger is not one I'm not that familiar with, because that is one thing I will say. I didn't grow up in a household that was predominantly angry. A lot of the anger was not expressed, I guess, towards anyone. There wasn't violence, so to say. And even for myself, I guess I suppressed so much of my emotions for so long. Definitely something I do suppress down. So in terms of having that anger that leads to violence side of things, that's not something I'm very familiar with. And if that is an aspect of your life, whether it's you, whether it's partner, whether it's someone you know, I think it's really good to get in touch with some of the organisations locally around. I know there are some great organisations that deal with anger in families and violence in families and whatnot. So I think it's really important, and I won't go too much into that one because I don't have as much knowledge around that. But definitely not an area you should just let lie, and there is plenty of places to help you with that. So, talked a bit about what, I guess identify what it is, that the traditional side of it, and why. Now, I want to kind of go into why it's really important to, I guess, change this. So, I keep re-looking at my notes. This is where I find it difficult, because normally I'm like looking at stuff when Abby's talking, and then I'll be talking and she'll be looking at stuff. So then, you know, it's not just like these awkward breaks of me trying to remember where I was up to, because, so why is emotional availability critical for kids? Because I am talking about this from a dad point of view. I'm not talking necessarily talking from a wife or from a husband, spouse point of view, from a dad point of view. What is so important about it is, as a father, you are directly teaching your kids, I guess, how to be a human. Because up until probably their teenage years, and my kids, oldest is going to be 11 shortly, so there's still stuff in the teenage years. I'm not going to pretend to know, but I'm just going to say, from an outward perspective, up until the kids are roughly 12, 13 years old, like, you as a parent are their whole world. So everything they learn, doesn't matter what other people might say, if dad said this or mum said this, then that's the way it is. And, you know, amount of times you hear those kids saying, oh, well, when they have a disagreement, it's quite funny. I'm not talking about your own kids, but like when they have disagreements with friends and stuff like that, it's like, well, my dad said that, blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, then my dad said that. No, that's not right. And it just always comes back down to it's kind of like defending whose dad is right. It's not about what is actually right. It's about who's right, because the parents are just such that biggest influence. So by having being emotionally available for your kids and being able to learn how to express emotions or share emotions, breaking that kind of stoic that stoic sense, because I am reminding myself, I'm talking about the emotional availability today, not the whole masculinity side of things. So it's mainly about the emotional availability. So by having that with kids, and it is teaching them from a younger age how to then relate to someone else at an emotional level, which then I guess the idea is that if like for me, I don't feel like I grew up in a space where I could express my emotions as easily, because it was a whole, I had to toughen up. So I remember it's funny because I get put into this thing of, oh, you're not a morning person, get grumpy in the morning. Okay, I'm not as good in the morning as I could be. Growing up and getting ready for school, one of my brothers used to wind me up all the time, to the point where it just was so frustrating. I used to bite all the time because I didn't learn how to just to let it be. I'd react, I'd get back, and I'd always often be the one, I just got to ignore him. And it would often be on me to fix the issue rather than my brother, who knew how to push buttons, knew how to wind people up, to kind of change. It was always like, you just ignore him, or you just toughen up and stop this type of thing. So that's kind of my experience where, and I guess for me, I didn't want to bring that into my kids. There is a big balance there, because there is an element where you need to teach your kids to be resilient. And I'm not going down the route of, you've got to pander to every need and bits and pieces. No, the kids need to be taught resilience, but they also need to be taught how to express their emotions and what they are trying to process in a healthy way. And I will 100% admit with one of my sons, he struggles with this quite a bit, because he doesn't know what his emotions are going on, and we get all this behavior. And so there's times where I was like, look, you actually, there's a recent situation where he got told that I was going out, and I normally put the kids to bed and do prayers and stuff for them, because that's what I quite enjoy, especially because I'm going out to work at about 7 a.m. So I don't really see the kids much in the morning. So the afternoon, evening is my time to kind of connect with them. Told this one, look, I'm going out at this time, and if you want me to take you into bed and do that with you, you need to be ready. And kind of mucked around, kept mucking around, and to the point where I was like, look, I got to go. And so I just left. And it's probably one of the first times I've actually just done that, and just left him. And I'm like, I just told him, and I was like, look, he's going to have to learn the hard way with this, and he's going to have to learn how to be resilient with this. And so definitely did shift some stuff when I got home. I went and saw him and made sure he was okay. But it did just make those things click that, my dad is available to talk, but I also need one who actually going to talk to him as well. And it does highlight some really great conversations. That's what I mean. There has to be that boundary, because you've got to teach some resilience to make sure that they aren't just going to be pushovers the whole life. They're not going to be, run from their emotions and need someone else to help them their whole life. They need to learn how to moderate that themselves. But the only way they're going to do that is by you showing them, hey, I'm feeling frustrated right now because of the situation. So I'm going to tell you about it. This is why I'm feeling frustrated. This is what we're going to do about it. And this is as both you and I, father and son, we can work through it. And I think by you expressing it, and I think this is actually something here I'm probably going to challenge myself. And like, kids will always ask me, oh, how's your day at work? And I've so often will just compartmentalize, I've finished at work, I've now gone to home life. And this will be like 2 hours after I've got home or so. And they'll be like, how's your day at work? I'm like, I've got to bring that back up. But what I'm not teaching the kids is there's emotions that go on for me at work that I have to deal with. I'm not actually teaching them how to go through it. So that's a bit of a challenge for me to actually work through, because normally I'm just like, dad was good, it's fine. But I mean, let's be honest, that's a very typical response from a lot of people. And a lot of the time it's not because I don't want to talk about it. It's not because it was always a fine day, it's because I don't want to bring up the whole work out again, because as soon as I start doing that, I then start to go down the route of all the work stuff I've got to do and stuff that I'm still haven't done yet, which is basically where it's at the moment. Right, moving away. So that whole aspect really is, you know, you're role modeling. You're role modeling for your kids, your emotions, so that you can teach them how to identify and work through their emotions. And you don't have to be perfect at it. That's one of the things I say to my kids all the time is, your mother and I, we're not perfect. We're going to get things wrong. We're going to do our best, and we're going to get things wrong. If we get things wrong, we'll talk to you about it. I think that's one thing we 100% commit to, because we want our kids to learn that's okay to make those mistakes so that you can learn from it. And learn mistakes is just a mechanism for learning. So being that role model is really important. You can only teach your kids if you're willing to do it yourself. So I think that's what one of the bigger reasons why it's so critical, the emotional availability, blah, 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 blah. Why emotional availability is critical for kids. So other one is actually, you're actually starting to build quite strong connections. So you see it yourself with people you know, okay? So why is your closest friend, why are they close to you? Why not other people? Like, what sort of things go on there? And you break it down. It's like, okay, was it because you've known each other for a long time? But then generally, if you've known someone for a long time, you've often walked through bits and pieces with them. Which at some point, there has to be a level of vulnerability there. And, you know, you often hear the stories about when two people go, like, have, say, a shipwreck, or say something happens, a big event happens, and because they can identify this moment of vulnerability, then all of a sudden there's just a connection there that's very unlike anything else, because of that connection that you have through this event, through this trauma. Other option, I've just completely forgotten it, and that's what happens to my brain. It's great. Camps, that's what I was gonna say. So what reason why, like, going on camps and stuff like that can be really good, because, you know, you're having this shared experience with those around you, so you're actually working through situations that are challenging, and you have to kind of open yourself up at a vulnerable level in some way to be able to achieve this other people. So that, and you just notice that there are some strong connections there. And I think that's 100% the way that it is for your own family as well. So, you know, as a father relating to your children, by opening yourself up and being emotionally available, especially when it doesn't necessarily relate, but if it's not even a situation, but emotions between you and your child, but just what's going on. So, say, for example, you are, as a father, you lost your job, you got fired, like, I think, or just you got made redundant. It's we're living in a moment where there is a bit of a higher unemployment rate. Jobs aren't as easy to find at the moment. so if this happened, now you got two choices. Like, you could go down the route of, you know, I want to protect my kids. I don't want them to feel this emotion. I'm going to bottle up. I'm going to keep it away. Or you can then choose to embrace this with the kids as well, because underneath it all, you have for a guy, there'll be so many different emotions going on. How do you provide for your family? Are you a failure type aspect? The disappointment, the anger, the sadness, all the stuff can just be flying around. Now, I believe that kids pick up on a lot more than we actually anticipate. And I reckon, you know, I know there was a time where, I guess, my father was in a similar boat and things weren't going well. Now, I didn't know until years later that he was not in a good place mentally. Like, there was some depression going on and stuff. I didn't know until that 2 years later. But I picked up as a kid that there was something going on that wasn't right. There was stuff going on and it had an impact. So I still 100% believe that if this goes on, kids will pick up on it. Now, we have chosen in our family to embrace it with our kids. So if we're going through a difficult time, we don't hide it from them. We talk to them about it. We say, look, I have not actually lost my job or been married or anything like this yet. Hopefully never, but that's not happened. But we have been similar times where we have, you know, going through a difficult time. We're like, look, this kids, we are going through this. This is going on. And allow the kids to share what they see, what their thoughts are. And it actually creates this really beautiful moment because our kids quite often, you know, they just want to support and love. And, you know, Lucy always comes and just want to give you a cuddle. She wants to make you feel better. And Zany's has some practical ideas of, you know, what about this? Well, we could do this. And then Troy has just got this heart of serving. And it's actually quite beautiful when we go through these hard moments that all of a sudden your kids just, because we've been teaching them how to work through emotions and displaying them, we have this really strong connection. And then that connection builds into lots of different areas. And for us, and as you continue to do that, the stronger connection that we're building with them are. And I would honestly have a lot of fun. Like my son and I went down to Wellington in the holidays for 2 nights, and it's just been one thing we have started doing because we want to build these strong connections. And so it's just this full-on one-on-one time with them, and we had a lot of fun, which is great. And I think that's why it's so important that I've shared my emotions, share how I'm going, and allow them to share how they're going. We find that communication with them is a lot easier, helping them to see what's going on, getting them to help out around the house, or it all kind of starts to flow out of the strong connection that we're building. Now, my wife and I, our hope and dream is that by the time we get to them kind of in high school, that all this groundwork's been done, that we have strong relationships so that when other things go on in their life that they can have the choice of whether they're going to tell us or not. And we're hoping that, you know, that the connection is there, that they can trust us to be able to talk to us. Because I think it's another thing that I'll just highlight is I think parents see it as their right to know everything that's going on in their child's life, which I think as a parent you always want to know what's going on in your children's life. But I think it's impractical to go about life having that mindset that it's your right, because it'll hit a point at some point where your kids are adults and you don't need to know, because they are their own human being. And at that point, from talking to others, you have to switch to trusting that you've raised them in a manner that they want to have a connection with you. So I think this is why, for me, I'm so big on building strong connections, because of the fact, you know, when my kids are adults, I want to be in their life. I want them to not just be like, oh, we'll come see you because you're dad. It's like, they want to tell us that they've got exciting stuff because we're excited for them. So again, I probably need to say, there is a bunch of this stuff. Teenage years, I do not know. And no, the reason I'm building it this way is because I've talked to people who have teenagers, have gone through teenagers. I've seen other people who are a little bit ahead of us and how they're doing it and seeing some success. So that's where I'm building my knowledge base from, but I have not fully experienced it. So the last point I wanted to raise about why emotional availability for dad is really important is because it's also supports your kids' mental health, because when they feel safe, when they feel like they're supported, when they're understood, that's when stress comes down, that's when they can relax, that's when they know they're valued, when you have that conversation with them. And it doesn't matter what they're feeling in terms of, you know, this has happened, you should be feeling disappointed. No, they will feel what they're feeling. Don't put what you think they should be feeling on them. They'll feel what they feel. And knowing and validating that feeling means they don't, I think our daughter Lucy is a prime example of this. Like, she puts it on herself to get the boy sorted. She puts it on herself to get the house sorted, make her life as easy as possible. It's not something we've asked of her, but she keeps putting on herself. So when she does something that doesn't necessarily line up, she beats herself up and she criticizes herself. And it's actually, there's no level of discipline we need to do that she hasn't already done to herself, really. And so in that moment, like, it's not my job to come in and be like, this is your punishment, rah, rah. Because that's just going to put upon her additional stress and pressure on how she's performing. It's my job to actually go in and remind her, look, what are you feeling? Now, it's okay that you're feeling disappointed and angry in this, because it's a situation that things didn't go right in, and validate, actually what you're feeling is okay, but it doesn't have to be this way, and then just kind of shift her into a bit more of a positive mindset. That's my job in this situation, because if I just keep laying on, if I ignore it, or if I keep laying on her the disappointments where she hasn't done things right, then it's just going to build up to the point where it goes back to the second point. We start to lose that connection because of the fact that she won't feel safe anymore. She won't feel like she can express things. And so that's what, it's just this why about this availability, learning how to speak at an emotional level is so important, because it just helps your kids with it. Now, it's been pretty far into the show, which is cool. I don't want to leave this topic without giving some practical tips, because I'm a practical guy, for dads of how to become more emotionally available. Because it doesn't come naturally to everyone, and the biggest thing here is that it's, and this is what point one is, 100% agree with this, is it starts with small steps. Don't expect things to shift overnight. This is not a sprint, it is a marathon. Raising kids is a marathon. It always will be. And you don't have to be like, okay, right, I need to be emotionally available for my kids, and then, right, sit the kids down. Well, today I felt that, and it's like, blurst out everything. You don't need to go to extremes. Like, just start slow, because one, your kids are probably fully overwhelmed, like, what the heck's going on? You're going to feel really uncomfortable with the fact that if you're not used to sharing emotions or being available with them for the kids, and it's like, oh, you're going to feel like, what am I doing here? So start with small steps. So suggest, using your day as an example is pretty good. Like, what was something that went well today? What was something that didn't go well today? What are you proud about? Are you excited? What is one emotion, one positive, one negative emotion you can share with your kids that from your day to day? And you don't have to go long. I think it's always important to do positive and negative, because you don't want to just teach the kids, or you don't want to just be emotionally available in the happy, but you also need to be in the sad and the disappointments as well. So start small and just start with that. At the dinner table, I'm going to actually say, when you connect with your family the best, because I also know that being around the dinner table and that family environment, although it's really good to do, it also doesn't necessarily fit every single family, and I don't want to stereotype this is the right way of doing it. Being around the dinner table is something that works for a lot of people, and it can work, but it may not necessarily be the best time to do all this either. So yes, practical tips. Start small. Start with small steps. Second, active listening. The biggest thing with a lot of this isn't actually about you expressing your emotions. It's actually just listening to what emotions or what's coming out from your children. And as being an active listener doesn't mean you're thinking, oh, well, they're wrong, or trying to interject. It's like actually just listen, allow them to express what it is they're feeling, why they're feeling it, and just allow them regardless of whether it's wrong or right, because there is no wrong or right with the kids. They it's one of the things that surprised us one day with our youngest, Troy, is he displayed anger and around the house and trying to throw his weight around and yelling and like the traditional signs of what you see, oh, that guy's angry. That's what he was expressing. And so we sat him down with a book of emotions, or I had pictures on it because I think it was quite a bit younger. And we're like, look, what emotion are you feeling? And went through anger, went through happiness, joy. The one he identified with was sadness. It wasn't anger. Now, he was sad because the situation, it made sense why he was sad. The outworking of that was anger. So, and I think that's why it's so important to practice active listening, because I could have said to me like, no, Troy, you've been angry. You're just angry right now. It's actually, that's not the emotion that's firing this off. So it's really important to have that listening and just practicing. Even if with that starting small, practice for like a couple of minutes and then take it longer or have a long, until you get to the point where you can, you know, sit there and allow your kid to express what's going on. And what's quite interesting is I find that the first couple of things they say is not necessarily the issue. And I have this with Zane all the time. Like, he'll quite often be like, one of the biggest things for him is like, oh, no one wants to play with me. And this and that. And, oh, you know, I didn't have the Lego set that I wanted. And all these bits and pieces that he throws up. But actually, what is deep down, what is actually under the undercurrent for this is actually he's really nervous about... So because he had surgery, he was really nervous about going back to school after his surgery because his eye was still a red colour. And that was what the actual issue was, but it was coming out of, I don't have any friends. It's like very different thing. So if I just dealt with a friend thing, oh, cool, you know, we dealt with that, that's fine. But no, that wasn't actually what the issue was, and that's not going to solve his emotional state. That's just going to fix a problem that isn't actually a problem, so to say. So... the act of listening is really good to do, just to sit there and just allow your kids to just share whatever nonsense it is. You might find you laugh at half the stuff they do. next point is practice self-awareness. So with this, reflect on your own emotions. Now, I was lucky enough to have my wife, who's very good at helping me with this side of the reflection, like, what is it you're feeling? Okay, but why are you feeling that? Or... where's it come from? You're feeling sad. Okay, well, what's caused you to be sad? Where does that come from? How long has it been there? And all this sorts of stuff. And so it's just like, okay, pick one emotion that you felt today. Ah, I felt proud. Why did you feel proud? Oh, because my son did something. But why? What about that made you proud? And then kind of develop it down so that you can learn like, oh, actually, you know, on the surface, I'm just feeling this one emotion, but actually underneath it all, this is all stuff that stacks up as to why I felt that way. Okay, well, let's look at why am I feeling sad. Well, I'm feeling sad because I haven't seen such and such for so long. Oh, well, why is that caused you to be sad? Ah, kind of thing. So practice that self-awareness, and I kind of like not just taking the first level answer, just work through. Now, you don't have to express it with everyone, but then it's also going to start to help you to identify, especially when it gets to your kids and you are trying to, you know, use your active listening. You can then start to be like, okay, well, like I was saying, oh, well, he said he didn't have any friends. So, oh, why are you feeling like you don't have any friends? What about, you know, what about this person? You played with him all the time. Oh, and so you practicing your self-awareness is then all of a sudden going to teach you how to ask the questions of your children to then get them to understand their emotions as well. Point four on some practical tips is mindfulness and stress management. I think this is highly important that you learn to manage stress and mindfulness in a healthy way. I know for myself, like, exercise is quite important. I finished football season 2 months ago. And to be honest, I haven't done a lot of exercise since then. And I notice it. Like I'm feeling a lot more built up. What I haven't done. Like I've done stuff like lawns, which has been helping. I've also been doing concrete and bits and pieces, and that sort of stuff like invigorates me. And it's just a reminder. My wife actually reminded me a couple weeks ago. It's like, oh, maybe you just need to go for a run. I'm like, actually, that's a good point. I'm missing that physical exertion. I'm missing the fact that I, you know, like to run. I need it. It's actually really good for my physical body. It's also really good for my brain as well. So learning what it is, what is it that de-stresses you? What is it that gives you mindfulness? What is it that helps you? And put that into your life regularly. And I would say weekly. It needs to be weekly. Otherwise, sometimes even more regular. Otherwise, you get to the point where, you're fine. All of a sudden, you're not fine. You actually need to make sure you do this regularly. last thing, and this is, for some people, this will take a bit of time, but normalize vulnerability. I think through all the other four things, this will come. And because if you normalize it with you and normalize it with your kids, it then becomes a lot easier to help work through all the other points. So it's a whole thing of the other four points, the small, start small, active listening, practice self-awareness, mindfulness and stress management will build into normalizing your vulnerability. And by normalizing your vulnerability, you then build in the other things as well. So it's kind of this symbiotic relationship, I guess, is one way of looking at it. And it can feel like you've been weak, especially when you have those ideals that, you know, being not showing emotions and being strong are the things you need to hold on to, and people that don't do that are the weak ones. But actually being emotionally strong is about being able to know when you need to be vulnerable, and just learning how to. I'm trying to think what ways I can, because what it will lead to is, you know, when you are feeling overwhelmed, when you do actually need support, then you're a lot more able to and accepting of that support and that help, because we subscribe to a village mentality for life. Like we it takes a village to raise a child, but if you're not willing to be vulnerable, then you're not going to be able to build that village. And then when you do have times when you need help, it's a lot easier to be able to draw on people when you have already established vulnerable relationships with people, if that makes sense. So hopefully what I shared today has helped. I think it's really important that as dads, you be emotionally available for your kids. Break that stereotype of being that stoic, strong, emotionless man. And actually embrace, you know, the benefits of what it is to actually learn how to express your emotions and teach your kids how to express theirs, so then they can then go and do greater things than you might have done yourself. That's all we have time for today. I hope you appreciated it. And tune in next time for another great week of help. Thank you very much.